The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our goal is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by providing tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that they can apply into their lives to become wiser, stronger, smarter, more resilient, and more capable human beings in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you. And if you like what we have to say and the information we provide and the guests we bring on, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps to spread word about the show and to get this helpful information into the hands of more veterans so that they can in turn improve their lives and shape the future of this country. This podcast is brought to you by the amazing, the wonderful F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of fats. These are portable snacks that you can carry with you anywhere. It's so hard to find a low-carb snack out there, but these guys have done it. They got macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. They've got awesome meat sticks, and they've got these delicious cheese snacks that they put out there. Plus, they're an amazing company. They send boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front line. It's not something we ask them to do. It's something they volunteered to do. So if you want to get some of the best low-carb, high-fat snacks on the planet, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. This podcast is also brought to you by the amazing, awesome people at Save the Brave. Save the Brave is an organization that provides camaraderie events for veterans. They do fishing events, they do golfing events, they do other sporting events, and they also do a lot of work to help Gold Star families. And look, we've all heard stories about veterans charities where the executive boards are taking these giant salaries, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But here's the thing. I want to make sure that whatever organization I'm talking about is doing amazing work. SaveTheBrave.org is doing absolutely outstanding work. Their board doesn't take any salary whatsoever, and they are having an amazing impact. They're focused on getting veterans to live their absolute best lives, and that's what this podcast is about, and that's why we wanted to work with them. So if you're interested in volunteering or donating to Save the Brave, head over to www.savethebrave.org and make your donation or your request today. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Warrior Soul Apparel. This is a clothing company that I actually helped to start a couple of years ago as we were beginning the brand Warrior Soul. We've got some amazing t-shirts. We've got skivvy shirts with some pretty funny sayings on there, like, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. We've also got some awesome hero shirts. We have the amazing Hard Times Breed Hard People series. And these are just great shirts that I've helped create. And they support the show. So if you're interested in getting some Warrior Soul shirts, head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. And finally, if you're interested in joining a new group that we are putting together here at Warrior Soul, a group for those who are looking to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries, stick around to the end. We'll have some information for you to check out. With that, let's get into the episode. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? So today I have an informative interview for you today. It's with a guy named Mr. Brian Talley. And Brian served as a United States Marine during the 90s. And like many veterans, he opted into the VA system.
And with that, a few years later, he ended up getting sick. He had extreme pain in his back. And he went to the VA emergency room. He goes to the same VA that I do over here in Loma Linda, California. And the emergency room kind of wrote him off. They sent him home, and then he ended up getting far worse pain. It got to the point where he couldn't move. And then eventually he came in, they did surgery on him, and they found that his spine had a staph infection. Now, there was a lot of neglect, a lot of malpractice going on in that emergency room, and Brian was definitely due some damages from that. But there was a loophole. Because one of the physicians that worked on him was a contractor and not a VA-hired physician, there is a law that states that the VA is not due any liabilities, is not able to be held liable from contractor malpractice. So it's a huge loophole. And now Brian is on a quest to close that loophole, because that loophole puts a lot of veterans in danger, big time. So I'll let him tell you more about it. This is something that everybody needs to listen to. If you know a veteran who's in the VA system, you need to share this over to them. If you are a veteran who's in the VA system, you need to be listening to this. Pay attention here, guys, because this is extraordinarily important. Let's get into the interview. Brian Talley, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I appreciate you.
I got to meet you at our good friend Scott Using's 50th birthday party over there in Temecula a few days ago, actually. And he introduced me to you, and I got to talk to you and learn a bit about your story. But for our audience at home, can we just get a little bit of a background on you? Let's start with your service, and then let's talk about what happened after that.
Yeah, sure. I'm a former Marine. I enlisted in 1994 at Denver MEPS, and I was active duty from 95 to 99. Served with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd FSSG. I was a red patcher. I was an 0481 and a 3112. I was a logistics Marine, and, I had a good time in service. I got to see the world and, had a, really overall great experience in the Marine Corps.
Where'd you travel over your career?
I was in Korea, Thailand, Okinawa, Cuba, Puerto Rico, of course, Lejeune, Pendleton, and a bunch of little islands, off the coast of, Okinawa and mainland Japan. So,
yeah, the 90s were great years for that. I went in 99, and just a great, it was a, there wasn't a lot of combat going on, but it was a great time to be in the Marine Corps, just because of the kinds of training we got, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we did a lot of humanitarian type missions and, a lot of training, it was a good time.
Awesome. And then, so you got out, and then you had this situation where you got sick, right?
Back in January 2016, I literally couldn't get out of bed one morning. It was so bad. The pain was so bad. I found myself just on the bathroom floor, just trying to get relief from the cold tiles on the floor. That just led to just days of just agony. Just pain that you can't describe. And my wife took me to the ER, the VA, Loma Linda. And they gave me some injections of Dilaudid and Methocarbamol and Kenalog, and told me that I was okay. I had a low back sprain, and they sent me home with a bag of pills, which was weird to us. We didn't have any trauma. I didn't fall down. I didn't hurt myself. So we came back. We started on the pills. And a few days later, we found ourselves right back at the front doorstep of the VA. In Loma Linda. This time I couldn't even walk. I was in a wheelchair, had a panic attack on the ER floor. My wife started to cry. She got consoled by other veterans. They came out, injected me again with more Dilaudid, with more Kenalog and Methocarbamol. Gave us another bag of pills, yelled at my wife, said that we should have been following up with my primary care, but we couldn't get a hold of her. Long story short, They denied me access to see a doctor in a very critical and very urgent emergency type scenario when I was in the ER. I wasn't in there for a cough or a runny nose. I was in there because I was in grave condition and there was something wrong. My wife asked for a blood test that was denied. My wife asked for an MRI and that too was denied. So we went home the second time, injections, pills, and finally, a few days after that, we did see my primary care. She was too busy to see us in a regular one-on-one, so we caught her in passing in a hallway, and she just very quickly agreed with the two ER reports from two ER charge nurses. The triage nurses said that they were correct with their diagnosis, that there was no problems with me. And she agreed. She didn't do any diagnostics. She didn't do a blood test or anything like that to check their work. So it was all just, how do you look from the outside? Oh, you look pretty bad. You're sweating. I had every single red flag that you can think of, we had that should have been the green light to at least see a doctor, see a doctor. So that went on for quite some time. My wife finally said enough's enough. She paid out of the pocket for her own MRI. And that MRI came back with a ton of structural damage in my back. Again, why? We had no idea what was going on inside my spine. I didn't hurt myself. So she sent that information off to the VA. That got us to see an orthopedic surgeon. And even again, at this time, we bring a report from an outside provider, and they still didn't double check it. They didn't do an MRI of their own. They didn't do a blood test of their own. Everything that happened in my case that could have gone against me went against me. So we fell through the cracks. They finally scheduled surgery, but it wouldn't be for another 9 months. At this time, I've been in this crazy pain now for over 2 months. I've taken anywhere between 40 to 45 pills a day, and my life as I had known it was slipping away, and I was living this very dark life of pain, defeat, anxiety, depression, just trying to figure out what the hell even hit me here. And I was just laying in my chair. That's where I spent all my days. And so finally my wife begged and pleaded with them and said, my husband needs to be cut on a lot sooner than 9 months. So another month went by and she begged and pleaded for the outside provider, the Veterans Choice Enrollment. And that was finally granted. So at the four-month mark, they finally opened me up at Scripps Hospital, and to the surgeon's surprise, while cut up on the operating table, he looks at my spine and he has concern because it looks moth-eaten. And those are his words, of my spine looked like it had been moth-eaten. And he called an infectious disease. They came in, they ran every other test under the moon on me. They came to a conclusion that I had suffered a bone-eating staph infection that was eating me alive for 4 months. Should have been fatal. Glad it wasn't. I have a beautiful family, 4 kids, and a wife of 21 years. And that was a very scary and, a very, hard time in my life to go through to find out what was going on and how this all happened and how everything went south just so fast.
Let me stop you there for a second, because I just want to say this, because I'm a patient at VA Loma Linda as well. And, you know, I don't want to denigrate the fine people who work there and who serve the veteran community. But at the same time, we have this concept of an emergency room, right? And if you actually look at a lot of the VA emergency rooms, particularly the one at Loma Linda, I know they're building it up right now, but most of these aren't really emergency rooms. They're actually like they're like walk-in clinics, I guess you could say, or what's the word? They're not
urgent care.
Yeah, urgent. Yeah. They're not capable of actually handling emergencies, and the doctors they have there are often on the verge of retirement or have been retired for a while, and they come in and do things. So when you go to one of these emergency rooms with an emergency, a lot of times you're waiting there for a while until they can find a specialist to check you out. And then most of the time they can't find one. So they send you home with some medication and things like that. And I think that's a big reason why we've gotten into a lot of the problems that we have because of the ways that these emergency rooms are set up, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the problem is that there's so many veterans that can't get in to see their primary care physicians because they're so backlogged that they go to the ER. And when you put a mass amount of folks on the system that don't have emergencies, they're there clogging up this, you know, the ER. And when folks are critical and needing to see a doctor in an emergency situation, a lot of the times they end up slipping through the cracks because of the, you know, of the system overload, if you will. And, you know, there's only so many doctors in the VA, you know, and another thing that I have, you know, said from the very, very, very beginning, look, I'm not anti-VA. The VA does a lot of good things. The VA also has a lot of room for improvement. And during my wild story here of gross neglect and malpractice and the legal malpractice at the end that they threw away, and you know everything that could happen wrong in my case did, but I still understand. Look, everybody makes mistakes. Medical malpractice can and will happen anywhere. VA hospitals or civilian hospitals. Look, it's going to happen, but it's what happens afterwards, right, on the accountability measures, you know, is what I'm fighting for right now for veterans' rights and such.
Right. No, exactly. And I think, you know, this is going to speak to some larger issues in a second when we talk a bit about what happened there. But I think one thing that everybody needs to keep in mind is we have this concept right now politically of either going, you know, more privatization or going toward an NIH type scenario like they have in England or Canada. And the thing is, the VA is set up very much like the NIH, and this idea of socialized medicine, I think that if we get into that, you're going to see a lot more of these types of things happening. And that's just my own philosophical understanding of the situation, but it's something I think we all need to keep in mind. Is we're going into they open you up, they find that your spine has been infected, and that's what's causing this immense pain. That's what's causing all this sickness. What happens from there? What course did they take, and what kind of recourse did you have as a patient who'd been failed by the system?
Well, after they opened me up, they put me on IV antibiotics for 4 months. I had a PICC line in my arm. My wife had to administer me 3 very, very large cold vials of antibiotics 3 times a day, a very cold gel that was killing the infection. It was so bad that, like I said, we had to go 4 months with this. And then I think we finished it off another 30 days with pills. So, you know, you're talking, you know, almost a half a year, just IV antibiotics and pills, just for the infection part of it. They did the surgery, and then I went home. It had done a host of damage inside my body. It did severe nerve damage, all three levels of my spine, inside my belly, my bladder, my sexual organ, part of my kidney. All these areas inside my belly have been affected, greatly affected, and it's all permanent. Because they cut those lines, they cut the nerves, they had to scrape off some tissue disc, the infected bone, put in their hardware, so on and so forth. And I came home and I just sat in my chair. I was being beat up by continued physical pain, and now the emotional and mental pain was setting in. Like I said, my life as I had once known it was over, and I was trying to reel myself in and try to figure out again what the hell has even happened here. You know, now we're at month five, now we're at month six, month seven. I'm still in my chair. I can't use the bathroom. I'm peeing in a bucket, you know, barely just dripping into it. You know, I don't leave my chair. My wife comes up there every 4 to 6 hours, just give me handfuls of pills. I'm living life in a chair. And procedure after procedure after procedure after procedure, every procedure you can think of, cystoscopies, myelograms, you know, spinal injections. I mean, I've had probably close to over 20, 25 serious procedures since then to help work on the what was damaged in my neck and my spine and my lower legs, you know, all the really long words that end with PHY, all the really long, you know, medical term words I can't even pronounce. You know, I've got all that stuff diagnosed in me now from the infection, so on and so forth. So leading to all this gross neglect and malpractice, we filed a tort claim. I owned a small business, and I hadn't worked in a very long time, and I was beginning to lose things. You know, like I said, I got four kids. I've always been the provider of my family. My wife is a stay-at-home mom. And in this time, I didn't even realize that my wife had to start getting credit cards to stay afloat. You know, we lost our family car in that transition. And I lost my business, and we filed a tort claim. 6 months into the tort claims process, the VA called me, and they said repeatedly, that the VA failed to meet the standard of care and there was a breach in liability and that we're going to be settling your claim. And we're sorry. They're very, very sincere and very apologetic. And this continued on for month seven, month eight, month nine, month 10, all the way up until under 1 year. Again, dozens of calls from the VA. We failed to meet the standard of care. There's a breach in liability. We're going to settle your claim. At the 1 year mark, they dropped a bombshell and they sent a letter and they denied my claim and all culpability based on a 1946 law in the Federal Tort Claims Act that states that independent contractors are not held responsible if they are found to be guilty of medical malpractice or gross neglect in a hospital. So what they did is they found one clinician that they tied to my care out of the many clinicians I saw. They tied one clinician into my care that was independent contractor. Now, mind you, these independent contractors are working within the halls and the walls of the VA. VA IDs, VA badges, VA doctor's coats, VA business cards, seeing VA patients just like you and I. Spitting out VA reports. They have keys to the building. They are using the copy machines, the printers. Those are not classified where I come from as independent contractors. Those are classified as employees. However, this is the loophole that the VA has done really well over the last 73 years. They figure out that we don't even need to report medical malpractice as even really happening if it's independent contractors. So we're going to deny Mr. Talley's tort claim on a technicality after we have stripped him of his livelihood, taken years off his life for a permanent injury and damn near death, damn near lost his home, lost his business, lost his family car. His family has been put through hell. And now I'm on my knees. Then I have a letter that's sent to me where they completely did an about face and left me and my family holding it back. And it's criminal. It's wrong. It's fraudulent. To even go further is I have a report from a whistleblower that was sent to me that states that there were several clinicians that were VA employees that all failed to meet the standard of care as well in my case. But they found the one independent contractor, one. And that is the way that they see their way out of these claims. Then, to add insult to veritable injury, the day I got that letter when they denied everything based on an employment status, and a technicality, they said I had to sue her now in state court. Well, guess who sent the letter to me the day that my state statute of limitations had expired? Yep. VA's Office of General Counsel. I got the letter. We were 3 days past the California state statute of limitations. It was like 3 or 4 days past. I immediately picked up the phone, called the attorney. He says, wow, looks like somebody was watching the clock when they sent you that letter. So wow. How can you strip a man of his livelihood? I was a guy that's doing everything right. Had a successful business, hardworking American, great family, good kids, smart, fun, loving, athletic, loved. We did it. We're doing everything the right way, paying our taxes.
There we go.
You know,
oh, go ahead.
Contributing to society. And then all of a sudden, a man finds himself in a downward spiral with everything crashing in and saying, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this, you know. And that's where I spent the next 3 years in my chair, just pain and suffering and trying to figure out what we were going to do, trying everything I can to get up because I'm a strong man. I've always been an entrepreneurial driven man, but this was enough to just put it. It was the kill shot. You know, you go through all the gross neglect and malpractice, and that's enough to damn near kill you. And then you survive that, and then you try to do everything you can to just at least recover. This isn't a get rich quick scheme. This is something here to just recover. You know, for you know my lost income and my revenue to just get that family car back to at least. Make it to where I won't lose my home. You know, I'm not asking for a lot here. I'm just asking to get back on my feet.
Right.
Never sued anybody before. Like I said, everything I've always done, I've always earned, and I've always worked hard for it. And I've always led by example with my family. And I've always taken care of my men and my customers. Like I said, an entrepreneurial spirit, man. And now I found myself slipping away, man. And it was tough. And once they hit me with this law, I was sitting in my chair and I started to reach out to folks that could help. I called my congressman.
Well, let me stop you there for a second, just because I want to get this through everybody's brains, right? The law is basically a get out of jail free card for the VA that says if there's any independent contractor amongst all the teams of physicians that are working on you, then under federal law, they can't be held liable, right? That's basically what's going on. Hey guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want, because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there, and let's get back to this awesome interview.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, if you're an independent contractor working within the VA, you have no liability at all. You know, the way that it's supposed to be is that if they screw up, when you do a tort claim, they let you know the employment status of that doctor, but they don't. And they don't do that until the time is up. So what they do is they lead you down this garden path. They tell you everything's going to be okay. Meanwhile, credit card debt stacking through the roof. You're like, oh, we're going to pay that off soon once that the claim for compensation comes in for injury. Then once that clock hit strikes 12, they pull the rug right out from underneath you, deny it all based on the technicality, and now it never even happened in the VA because now they've kind of brushed it off to the independent contractors. Right. But then again, they take it a step further. They wait. So now they don't even need to report the medical malpractice to the National Practitioner Database because the state statutes have completely expired. And it never happened. So you want to talk about watered down numbers,
right,
for VA medical malpractice. And it's frightening. It's frightening. And this does not, what I'm doing, take away from the good doctors, right, and clinicians that are at the VA. The doctors and the clinicians at the VA, they made a mistake. And they are human. I have acknowledged that. And I have, you know, I've let it go, you know.
But do you have estimates as far as how many veterans have gone through this or anything like that? And do you have estimates as to what percentage of the VA is actually independent contractors?
I've done a FOIA and I haven't gotten any response back to try to find out how many independent contractors are actually working within the VA. And I can tell you right now that I don't have an answer for that, but I can tell you there's a lot. There's probably more independent contractors working within the VA inside VA hospitals than actual VA employees, because that's how they see their way out of all this liability. And when I was in discussions with chief counsel, at the time I was completely incapacitated. I couldn't even talk. I was on so many pills. So my brother was pretty much on the phone with me. And he asked, does this happen a lot? And the chief counsel said, yeah, it happens all the time. And unfortunately, we don't have a fix in place for this. And that's when my brother said, well, we're going to fix it. And we're going to call it the tally bill, because what happened to my brother and his family can never happen again. And if I didn't have the strong support system of my friends and family, I don't think I'd be here today. So that's when I picked up the phone and I called Congressman, my congressman down here in San Diego. He couldn't help. He sent a couple of empty letters. He, he was battling some trouble of his own. And, unfortunately, I was a constituent, couldn't get the help I needed. It was another wall. It was another door that was just right in front of me that was giving me another way out to quit. And so I just went to my chair and I just started, I just bawled it and, just trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. And I put it all in God's hands. I said, I'm going to change this law. And so I just started to look at law books, and I put a pen to paper and created my own online legislative team. Mm-hmm. And we drafted the tally bill, and to protect all veterans, to have accountability and to have transparency in the VA after veterans have already been through a traumatic time in their life, going through medical malpractice, enough to nearly kill them. They've already been put on their knees once. And then, like I said, these legal malpractice kill shots are enough to leave the injured veteran and their family just with no hope, feeling helpless and hopeless and just with nothing left. And you want to talk about veteran suicide? That's something that, that can easily be attached to cases like mine, because they are not fun. But anyways, I put it on myself, to be accountable, to say, I have got to do something about this. I pray to God for courage and for commitment and dedication that I would overturn this 73-year VA legal loophole that has destroyed the lives of veterans and their families for generations. And that's exactly what I did. I formed this team. We put all of our ideas on paper. We had a bill. I hand delivered it to the halls of Congress. I walked the halls with pain pills and anxiety meds and went door to door urging lawmakers to change this outdated law back in October 2018. Mm-hmm. Within 30 days, we had HR 7105 introduced by Congressman Dave Bratt. He was not reelected. So in the 116th Congress, we had to start all over again in January. This is a tough job. This is constant. This is being in front of Congress constantly, sending very nice emails and, sending the phone calls and doing my social media, for my chair. When I sit in my chair box, I have a lot of spinal pressure, and doing everything I can, because I can't move on with the rest of my life knowing that this egregious law is still in place and every veteran who uses the VA is at risk. So to me, it's one, it's near and dear. Two, I've taken responsibility and accountability to fix it because I lived it and it can never happen again, because I know what it does to families. Right. It's ruining lives. And it doesn't need to be this way. What I have proposed, it doesn't cost any money. Mm-hmm. What it is I'm proposing is to have the Office of General Counsel operate in good faith. Mm-hmm. What we're asking here for is to operate in good faith. If something goes wrong, and if somebody files a tort claim, and it's not your employee, it's somebody else, okay, we'll give them the employment status. What's the big deal here? Don't hold on to crucial information to completely ruin this veteran's life. He's already been through hell. He's trying to recover. He's trying. This is survivability. You are gonna increase his survivability rate or her survivability rate by just offering information that should be rightfully the veterans to have. But when they lead you down this garden path and then they feed you false hope, you know, it's tough, man. I mean, it's tough. So
what's the status of, so where's the tally bill at right now? And what is going on with it legislatively?
So back in June, Congressman Mark Meadows saw my story and he championed the second version of the tally bill, which is HR 3813. And that's the Brian Talley VA Medical Care and Liability Improvement Act. That's a very good bill. It's about an 8-page bill that is full of accountability and transparency measures within the VA after veterans have fallen victim to VA medical malpractice, to essentially protect all veterans after they have fallen victim to medical malpractice. That is doing really well in the House right now. And then a month and a half later, we had another Congressman Mike Levin, who saw the story and wanted to help. He drafted his own bill and his own version of the Talley bill, which is now H.R. 4526, which is the Brian Talley Employment and Transparency Act, which will give injured veterans the employment status and which direction they need to go on their tort claim or their state lawsuit. So it'll give you some direction on what to do, as well as seek legal counsel. But a lot of the times, even when you seek legal counsel, no one wants to take your case because it's the VA. And the first thing that the attorneys say is, the red tape, your bureaucratic nightmare of the VA and going through this process and this and that. So one, it's hard to even find an attorney. So a lot of the times these veterans have got to piecemeal this stuff together on their own. And that's very hard to do. It's not easy. But H.R. 3813 and H.R. 4526 are both in the VA committee right now, and they have both they're both in the VA committee right now. We're waiting on a committee markups, and what the markups are is they go through the bills and they mark them up. They say, this is good, that's, let's add this, let's take this out, and then they try to compromise between the Democrats and the Republicans. Unfortunately, my bills have become political, and I didn't want that because veterans should not. Well, so H.R. 3813 is what they call the Republican bill, and H.R. 4526 is the Democrat bill. Mm-hmm. And that's not true because both of them are bipartisan. However, some Democrats aren't signing on to 3813 because it's Meadows. And Meadows is right-wing Republican, in the House, who a lot of Democrats don't like, and vice versa. Levin is a Democrat, and he's, on the VA committee, and, he works with a lot of Republicans as well, but a lot of the other Republicans, they may have more of a pact with, it's a mess. And, there's a time and a place for politics, and right, this is not one of them. To protect the estimated 20.2 million American veterans in this country who are at risk, and the estimated 6.5 million that are actually in VA care as we speak, who are enrolled in VA. So What we need is we need the Democrats and the Republicans to come together as one and work in the House to get this bill and to get this law passed to protect the rights of all veterans after they have fallen victim to VA medical malpractice, because it is frightening. And you will never know that you actually in this until you're in it. Typical medical malpractice isn't like just opening you up and then leaving a scalpel. I mean, medical malpractice takes place for months and months, sometimes years. I mean, before you really understand the neglect and everything that went wrong in your case went wrong. And to hold people out here, you don't want to sign on to this bill because it's Republican or it's a Democrat. Man, that's nonsense, because every veteran I know, it comes from every fabric of this country.
Right.
And veterans aren't just Republicans or Democrats or black or white or brown. Look, it doesn't matter. Veteran rights and veteran protections should not come with a political preference. It shouldn't come with any other thing other than to protect those who have honorably and courageously served our great nation. So why do you need to have the cards constantly stacked against some of the most honorable people in this country, the same ones that are some of the most at-risk population in our country? So I am urging your listeners to please pick up the phone. Please send an email to your congressman, to your senator, and have them please co-sponsor or do a Senate companion bill for H.R. 3813 and H.R. 4526, because it's going to save lives. And you never know, one day you or a loved one may have this same exact scenario. And like I said, the scenario is enough for that most folks wouldn't make it through it.
Right.
But like I said, I've dedicated my life, my last 18 months, I've dedicated my life to this. I work this 14, 15, 16 hours a day, sometimes more. I can't sleep. Town halls. I've been to DC 3 times. I've been to Nevada on some other town halls, telephone town halls. I've got almost 10,000 hours in on this. 3,000 emails, phone calls, because I believe in this. And I know how egregious these tactics are. And like I said, I've been called to serve, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm in this fight until we have law. And yes, I'm getting tired, but I can't move on with my life to have the necessary closure I need to effectively move on with my life until this is signed into law, to when I know I can go to bed at night knowing that what happened to me and my family will never happen again, ever, ever, ever.
Right.
And, I've found purpose again, and I found my purpose through pain. You know, living with pain and chronic pain is not, it's not easy, and you got to battle through it, so you got to, change your diet, change your life, right?
Right, exactly.
Long story short, all we're trying to do is we're just trying to hold the Office of General Counsel accountable, because the way the law stands right now, they can cherry pick the clinicians they want. They can deflect all the liability they want based on a technicality and employment status, and hold on to crucial information to keep denying these veterans a rightful compensation. And like I said, it's wrong. It's unconstitutional. It's un-American. It's frightening. And it's going to end, and we're going to have law to protect all veterans. And I just happen to be the guy that was the last. Well, hopefully I'll be the last, but I think there's a lot more that are probably going through the same scenarios that I've been through. I'm just trying to do the best I can with the cards that were dealt to me. And like I said, hopefully this is over soon. Because this is a very tiring, demanding job. It's one that doesn't even come with a paycheck. But I've learned that over the last 4 years that some of the best jobs out there don't come with a paycheck. And I'm okay with that.
What are you going to do once this is through? What's your plans?
Well, I don't know. A hobby I've picked up since I've gotten hurt is announcing. I sat in my chair for so many years and I would just start to mimic TV commercials, so I kind of like doing, announcing, stuff like that, but I've never pursued anything. But I want to help veterans. And I never thought that, if you would have told me 4 years ago that I would be this veteran advocate and, would be working with Congress, with three bills that have been introduced. And it's just, my life has changed in ways that I could have never seen coming or ever imagined. But I think I've been called to serve, to help fellow veterans. And, I don't know what type of, capacity I'll be able to serve in. But once this is all said and done, I would love to just be a shoulder, for these veterans, an ear, because when I was going through all this, man, you completely self-isolate and you just don't have a voice and you're like, how is this even happening in America? Like, you don't have a voice, you don't have. So I've had to work so hard to give the voiceless a voice. And if that's something that makes me very proud and keeps me going and waking up every morning with that purpose-driven life now that I'm now living, I would want to help other veterans. And I've done so over the last 18 months. I've had a lot of veterans reach out to me. I mean, probably thousands. Emails and Facebook and, social media, all this stuff, and just tell me their story. And listen, not giving any legal advice at all, but just to listen to these veterans and their stories, to let them know that they are not alone and that we are working hard right now on a solution. I could have easily sat back and taken this, but I didn't. My case has been denied, two denied tort claims, and my case is done. It's closed. But I can prevent others from going through what I went through. And so that's what keeps me going, is just to keep these veterans, just with hope and knowing that, we're just doing everything we can, to try to, sorry. Sometimes I have brain farts.
Okay.
You had asked, what I want to do afterwards too. And, heck, I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say.
The big thing here is, man, it's about finding meaning in your life. Right. And a lot of times you face struggles, and the thing about struggle is this, it can either break you or it can help you to grow. And mm-hmm. the good side effect of what's happened to you is that you've been able to find some meaning, and through this bill and through advocating for veterans and by doing this work, you've been able to turn a situation into a positive. And that's a lesson for anybody out there. We're coming up on time. I want to just get it out there. How can people find you? How can people what social media do you have out there that people can go to learn more about the bill? And then is there a particular link where people can go to find out who their representative is in Congress?
Yeah, I have a website that has all that kind of built into it. The website is tallyteam.net, T-A-L-L-Y, team.net. And we have a Facebook page where I hold myself accountable. Every day I kind of share what we're doing, the minutes that we put out there in our contacts and, what's going on with the bills. And that's Rally Around Tally on Facebook. And I think we're on Twitter and Instagram too, but I have folks that help that I have on my national legislative team that kind of help. I haven't done all this on my own. It's a lot of hard work. And like I said, I've got great support from across the country, and I welcome your viewers and your listeners to join the Tally team to help change this egregious 73-year VA legal loophole that's just dishonored veterans for generations, and it's time that we put an end to it. And just know that, you know, as American citizens, you know, we have an we have a duty to honor and protect all who have served. You know, especially we all deserve to be treated with, you know, fair and right ways. And, you know, you guys can all help by just picking up the phone and calling your congressman, calling your congresswoman, calling your state senators or your U.S. senators. But one more thing, I had a brain fart last segment there. And what I was saying is that, you know, when all this stuff went down, I could have easily just stayed in my chair and just forgotten all about this and just moved on with my life. But knowing how dangerous and how just egregious it was, and instead of just taking it and just living the rest of my life with just sadness and you know, I wanted to bring a solution to the table, like you said. You know, I didn't just want to sit back and complain. I wanted to get off the sidelines into the game, bring a solution to the table and say, here, this is how you can fix it. You know, a lot of the times the best ways that you can fix things, especially within the VA, is not going to be by some bureaucrats who don't even understand the VA. It could be guys like VA, like veterans,
right?
That can bring solutions to the table to help fix some of the things to make the VA a better place for everybody. So I appreciate your time and you inviting me on this. It means the world to me. I sincerely appreciate it. And I hope that we can continue to drive this positive awareness that is needed to put an end to my story. And so I can begin my next chapter on something, you know, on something different here, hopefully in the near future. So,
well, I want to acknowledge you because I know what you're doing is not easy. I know that you've been through a whole hell of a lot, man. And, you know, I got to meet you in person. I see the kind of pain you're in. And, I deal with pain a lot just based off of having autoimmunity. And, I know that it is a mind wrenching experience when you are an active man who is out there and doing everything you can to make it, but then your body turns on you. And that in and of itself is a hellish experience. And to add to that, the insult to injury that's been given to you by this loophole, and that's probably affecting so many thousands of veterans out there. You know, it's a horrible situation. So thank you for doing everything that you're doing to try to close this loophole and to help so many veterans out there who are in danger of going through the same thing that you did.
Thank you. I appreciate your kind words. Sincerely. It means a lot to me. Like I said, it's given me purpose, you know, and just, it's made me a better person. Very, very humbling experience, you know, to say the least, but appreciate your platform and for helping this, this extremely important cause that you never know, could save your life one day, you know? So,
and one more time, your Facebook page is Rally Around Tally, right?
Yes. My Facebook page is Rally Around Tally. And my website is tallyteam.net.
And Instagram is what?
I don't do that one or Twitter. I think it's like hashtag Tallyville or something.
On Twitter, man. Get yourself on Twitter.
I'm just a Facebook. Yeah. I think it's at Tallyville maybe, or at the Tallyville. I don't know. Yeah. My great friend, John down in Texas, does that, Twitter and Instagram. So like I said, I'm the Facebook guy.
Yeah. Twitter's great because it gets you an opportunity to constantly just put stuff out there as far as, you know, links, trying to motivate people. And there's a lot of communities out there that would support you too. So just a little bit of experience from me from the business side. So, you know, to everybody out there, again, go give your congressman a call, get this thing noticed. And really, I mean, you can listen to this, you can learn about it, but unless you're taking action on it, there's not much that's going to be done, right? So we all have a duty here to make that phone call, to try to get the word out, and to make people aware of this situation. So this is a big call to action, all of you out there in the audience, to do something. And it's as simple as a phone call. It doesn't cost you anything. It'll take about 3 to 5 minutes of your time. So try to do it. And we'll have all the links to Brian's stuff up on the show notes for this episode. And beyond that, guys, you know, never give up. Never give up. Search for meaning in your life and do everything you can to turn these negatives into positives. And that only comes through action, guys. So with that, get out there and live your best lives while you can. And this is Chris and Brian, and we are out. All right, guys, there you have it. That is our interview with Brian Talley. And I have to say that that is a very scary situation that a lot of veterans could find themselves in. You don't want to not take action on this one. Make sure you're calling your congressperson. Make sure that you are letting them know about these bills that are being put out there so that they can vote the proper way and support the veteran community. This is not a joke. Any single one of us could find ourselves in that position. So please take some action there. In addition to that, if you love the Warrior Soul podcast and you want to help veterans out, here's a big thing you can do, and it's absolutely free. All you got to do is you got to head over to iTunes. You got to just write us a review. Let us know how the show is impacting you. Let us know how we're doing, and let the world know. That way, we get this information into the ears of more veterans. Our mission is to empower the U.S. military veteran community to live their absolute best lives, to show up as their absolute best versions of themselves in the civilian world. And we do that by delivering tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas from myself and people who are a lot smarter and a lot more accomplished than me. People like Robert Greene, people like Boss Rutten, people like Grant Cardone. And the way I get those guests is because they want to come here and they want to help you. But in order for me to get other guests, other amazing people on the show, I need to show them the impact that we're having here. So please do that for me. If you want to support the podcast in other ways, you can head over to our Patreon. It's up at www.patreon.com/warriorsoulpodcast. We give some great tier prizes away for that. And if you want to buy a shirt, you can head over to warriorsoul.shop. We got great gear over there. And then in addition to that, if you want to support yourself, you can join the Warriors Obituary Society. And to do that, you head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. I'm always happy to take suggestions from you guys. If you have ideas for guests, if you have ideas for content you want out there on the Warrior Soul podcast, just let me know. The best way of getting in touch with me is either DMing me on our Instagram at Warrior Soul Agogi, or you can join our private Facebook group, the Warrior Soul Agogi Empowerment and Resilience private Facebook group. It's completely free again, and you guys can let me know there. With that, again, I hope that you are enjoying yourselves. I wish you a happy, healthy, and safe holiday season. We got Christmas coming up here, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. And that's not politically correct, but Merry Christmas, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what religion you are, no matter what kind of person you are. When I say Merry Christmas, that means goodwill to all, right? It's not a hate thing. It's not anything like that, all right? It means goodwill to all, peace on earth, all that stuff. And with that, thank you guys for listening. I'm rambling now, and we'll be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content on the Warrior Soul podcast. This is Chris Albert, and I am out.